Welcome back, everyone, to another exhilarating episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, here with my ever-enthusiastic co-host, Core.
Hey, hey. We're thrilled to dive into yet another roller coaster ride through the latest in AI, Web 3.0, and all things tech. Trust me, you won't want to miss a second of today's show.
That's right, Core. We've got an action-packed lineup today. First up, we'll be dissecting the recent advancements in AI, covering everything from groundbreaking research to cutting-edge applications that are reshaping industries.
And let's not forget about the seismic shifts in the world of Web 3.0. From new blockchain innovations to decentralized finance breakthroughs, there's a lot to unpack.
Absolutely. Plus, we'll be tackling some spicy political events that directly impact the tech world. Nothing like a little controversy to keep things interesting, huh?
Oh, you know it, Jack. And of course, it wouldn't be AI Unchained without a few laughs and some friendly debates.
Speaking of debates, Core, I heard you have some strong opinions about the latest tech company mergers. Are we going to need a referee today?
Maybe. Let's just say I've got some thoughts, and they're not all warm and fuzzy. But that's why we're here, to challenge each other and hopefully shed some light on these complex issues.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So for our listeners, buckle up, grab your coffee or your coding fuel of choice, and let's get this show started.
And remember, folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your support keeps us motivated to bring you the latest and greatest each week.
All right, that's enough preamble. Let's dive right into the swirling vortex of technology and innovation, shall we?
Onward and upward, Jack. Let's do this.
So, Core, we talked last time about the geopolitics influencing cryptocurrency markets, and today we're diving into a specific example. Let's discuss how Hint's global software plays out for our fictional cross-border cryptocurrency infrastructure company. Essentially, it looks at geopolitical developments to give companies daily updates that might impact their operations.
Right. This is where things get interesting. The software flagged a significant event, Trump's trade war with China. It caused market volatility and triggered a drop in Bitcoin and other crypto stocks. It's funny how Bitcoin was always hailed as digital gold, but when real-world political events hit, its performance didn't quite match up to gold.
Exactly. It's like this mythical safe haven status Bitcoin was supposed to have just crumbled under the stress of actual global events. Meanwhile, people flocked to gold, which soared to over $3,660. This is a narrative shock for you. Digital gold didn't quite shine as expected.
Yeah, and JP Morgan's report detailed that. They noted while investors were eager to pump cash into gold ETFs, they were pulling out of the new Bitcoin ETFs. There was this big swing of preference that really tells us how investor behavior can flip with geopolitical discourse.
And it's not just individual investors, but big institutional players too. Remember how Strategy, which used to be MicroStrategy, started this huge trend by buying up $425 million in Bitcoin? Now they hold a whopping 531,644 BTC, over $45 billion worth. That's a serious chunk of Bitcoin's finite supply.
You've got companies like Tesla and Block, formerly Square, joining the fray. Tesla's foray into Bitcoin was massive, and then their whole dance of accepting and then stopping Bitcoin payments was a roller coaster. Makes you wonder how much of it was really about liquidity tests versus just an elaborate PR stunt.
Well, Elon Musk does love a good headline, but it shows how quickly the narrative can shift. It's wild that Strategy's Michael Saylor, who once wrote off Bitcoin, is now its biggest cheerleader, continuously pushing it as the ultimate reserve asset for corporations. It's a complete 180.
And let's not forget the miners, like Marathon Digital and Riot Platforms. These guys are amassing Bitcoin like there's no tomorrow. Marathon alone holds over 47,000 BTC. They initially were patent trolls, and now they are Bitcoin mining behemoths. It's a remarkable pivot.
Marathon's story is fascinating. From patent trolling to mining Bitcoin, they've capitalized on a completely different industry. And now with the 2024 Bitcoin halving, they're doubling their mining operations to counteract the reduced rewards. Talk about adapting to survive.
The dynamics are changing rapidly, especially as more traditional companies dive into crypto for their reserves. Even Canadian Bitcoin miners like Hut 8 are making significant moves, now holding over 10,000 BTC. It's a landscape that's evolving by the day.
True. And newcomers like Metaplanet in Japan are aggressively buying up Bitcoin as well. They plan to hit 10,000 BTC by end of 2025. This competitive race to stockpile Bitcoin is becoming global.
We're really seeing the decentralization of financial strategies here. Companies from various industries are diversifying into Bitcoin. But what intrigues me is this fear of quantum computing. If this future tech can crack Bitcoin's encryption, all these reserves could be at risk. Project 11's bounty puts this threat to the test in a practical way.
Yeah, that's a huge leap. Imagine a quantum computer breaking Bitcoin's encryption in minutes versus eons that traditional supercomputers would take. It sends shivers down the spine thinking of the chaos that could cause in the crypto world.
Totally. The stakes are high, and the race to develop quantum-resistant protocols is on. And speaking of races, Solana's making waves too, launching spot ETFs in Canada and upgrading its infrastructure to tackle transaction delays head-on. They've got the momentum, especially with their meme coin bandwagon riding high.
Solana's been a standout, no doubt. Their move to improve infrastructure shows their commitment to handling broader adoption efficiently. Plus, their ETFs with staking capabilities give investors yield on their holdings. It's a smart, forward-looking approach.
Yep, and it's not just ETFs. VanEck's upcoming blockchain-themed ETF could steer more traditional finance folks towards the sector. It's a melding of old finance with new, creating pathways for more stability and mainstream acceptance.
Indeed. And as mainstream acceptance grows, regulatory dynamics come into play. The SEC's pivot under Trump's administration has eased up on crypto, signaling potential favorable ground for further innovation.
Regulations. Always a double-edged sword. Loosening the reins could spur growth, but it also invites a lot of unpredictable moves. The idea is to balance innovation with investor protection, a tricky dance to get right.
That's where projects like Hints Global Software come in, helping companies navigate these murky waters with up-to-date analysis. It's just one piece of the wider puzzle, but an insightful approach to managing geopolitical risks in the crypto space.
Precisely. It's all interconnected, from geopolitical shifts influencing markets to tech advancements reshaping the landscape. Every piece plays a part in this complex and rapidly evolving scenario.
So, looking ahead, it'll be exciting to see how these trends continue to unfold. Will Bitcoin regain its digital gold status in the face of these innovations and challenges? Only time will tell. It's certainly going to be an interesting ride to watch. So, Core, here we are looking at Google's shiny new toy, the Gemini 2.5 Flash. Seems like they're pulling out all the stops with this one.
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, Google really likes to flex their muscles in the AI game, don't they? The hybrid reasoning model is intriguing. Turning thinking on and off sounds like a perfect mix of efficiency and capability.
It's like having a supercharged brain that can switch gears depending on what you need. One second, you're blasting through simple tasks without breaking a sweat. And the next, you crank up the reasoning power for the nitty-gritty stuff.
Right. And for developers, that flexibility is gold. But I wonder how this will affect real-world applications. Think about how apps can fine-tune their performance just by tweaking a few settings on the API.
Speaking of which, let's break it down a bit. So, for those who might not be deep diving into API documentation every day, this thinking budget thing, it's essentially like setting a limit on how much brain power the AI will use for a task, right?
Exactly. Developers can decide how much thinking the model should do. If you're working on something that doesn't need deep analysis, you save on costs and speed up the process by setting the thinking budget to zero.
Pretty neat. But don't you think there could be a downside here? Like, what if we set the budget too low and the AI misses some crucial context or detail?
Definitely a risk, Jack. It's a balancing act. Yes, the cost and speed benefits are huge, but you've got to know your application inside out to set that perfect balance.
And for those large-scale tasks, the slider in Google AI Studio where you can set the thinking budget, that's such a handy tool. It's just adjust on the fly based on the task and resources available.
Yeah, that's super practical. Image if you're running a startup with limited funds. Optimizing to squeeze every bit of performance without breaking the bank is a game changer.
And this thing about 24,576 tokens for deep thinking tasks. Can you imagine the kind of solutions this can churn out?
That's a heck of a lot of processing power. Think about complex problem-solving scenarios, like financial modeling or scientific research. It could be massive.
But let's not forget the other side of the coin. How about the implications for job roles that involve heavy reasoning tasks? With such powerful automation, there's always that looming shadow of job displacement.
A valid concern. However, I feel like this technology could also unlock new roles we can't even envision yet. The old AI will take jobs, but also create new ones scenario.
True. Plus, imagine what this could mean for smaller companies or individual developers. They get access to top-tier AI capabilities without needing a hyperscale infrastructure.
It democratizes access to powerful AI. Now, anyone from a garage-based coder to a mid-sized enterprise can leverage this tech for breakthrough solutions.
On a lighter note, it sounds like every dev's dream, thinking budgets. If only we could apply that to our own brains, saving energy on the mundane, cranking up the power when needed.
Oh, wouldn't that be neat? Might just make Monday mornings bearable, finally.
Here's a thought, though. With these advancements in AI and now Gemini 2.5 Flash, are we seeing the dawn of a new era where AI becomes our go-to for everything?
We're definitely on a fast track. If advancements keep rolling out at this speed and utility, we might indeed see AI integrated into nearly every aspect of our lives.
It's mind-boggling to think about. Here's hoping we use it wisely. All right, so any final thoughts on the rollout?
Well, I'd say buckle up. Whether you're a developer or just someone curious about the future of AI, Gemini 2.5 is worth watching closely. It's setting the stage for some pretty exciting possibilities.
Agreed. Here's to the continued journey into the hybrid reasoning future. All right, folks, we'll be back with more insights and discussions after a short break.
Stay tuned.
So let's delve into the specifics of using Image Magic for our image processing tasks. It's pretty neat what you can define and manipulate with just a few command lines. For instance, the command for adjusting the multiply value helps in enhancing colors while maintaining the brightness, sort of improving visual quality, right?
Absolutely, Jack. I think the beauty of Image Magic lies in its simplicity and power. You can fine-tune images to get the desired effect without diving into complex photo editing software. The command you shared is an example of how you can automate and customize photo edits. And don't even get me started on how convenient it is to have such tools directly accessible via terminal with Brew install.
It's like wielding a magic wand for files. Recently, while working on a project, this feature saved me hours. Instead of manually editing each image, I just ran a single command that adjusted colors across an entire batch of images.
That's the real power here, automation. Plus, Image Magic's support for different color profiles and depths takes it a step further. You're not just adjusting one dimension, but working with a professional level of flexibility. It's amazing how straightforward these commands look, but the amount of processing they handle under the hood is mind-blowing.
It sure is. But shifting gears a bit, this reminds me of a totally different area of tech that brought some confusion recently, battery monitoring. There have been issues with battery management, specifically around cell balancing with certain BQ76925 monitors. It was a head-scratcher for me at first.
Oh, you're talking about that battery monitoring struggle where there was confusion on whether those BQ76925 chips performed cell balancing or not. The electronics can be tricky, especially when there is hidden functionality dependent on command inputs from microcontrollers like the MSP430.
Exactly. It's wild to see tools that we assume are straightforward but actually require quite a bit of configuration. The same goes for missing communication between the battery and the tool. It can look flawless on one side, but be otherwise under the hood. And it gets frustrating when simple components like capacitors have different layouts than expected.
I get that. It's like when you perfectly follow a recipe that calls for 128 megabytes of memory configuration in PostgreSQL, expecting it to work seamlessly because the defaults are solid. But if you don't know those small tweaks, results can be catastrophic in production.
Right. It's not much different from fine-tuning technology. Missteps with assumed requirements lead to missed operations, just like in our Milwaukee battery scenario, where missed handshakes and invisible amperage monitoring added to the confusion.
Yeah, and then there's the crazy adventure of finding out the exact workings from external sources or passionate tool scientists. It's fascinating how crowdsourcing knowledge sometimes surpasses even the manufacturer's documentation.
And isn't that marvelously similar to literature, like how Jane Jacobs captured the essence of urban planning with the death and life of great American cities? It's like catching lightning in a bottle. Her profound yet simple observations that shape entire disciplines.
That book is legendary, but it's funny when someone's initial spark propels them to fame, yet subsequent works don't hit the same note. It's similar to discovering a groundbreaking tech feature, yet failing to reinvent or surpass it multiple times.
Totally. Just like technological concepts. Once you grasp the core, like the constant E or exponential functions, everything else builds from there. Simple principles, once understood, make complex applications feel less intimidating.
And speaking of principles, our ongoing evolution in fields like DeFi shows how foundations, whether in finance, battery technology, or image processing, require continuous learning and adaptation.
Let's just hope we don't end up like the DeFi Education Fund, litigating for clarity in a space that's continuously evolving faster than regulations can keep up. But hey, we do love the feeling of uncovering new tweaks and fixes, whether it's in command lines or tech specs.
Precisely. It's what keeps us curious and engaged. Whether we're balancing batteries, tweaking PostgreSQL settings, or transforming images, it's always a fascinating journey.
So let's bring it back to the importance of large-scale planning in our city's core. We've touched on Daniel Burnham's famous dictum, "Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood." Basically, the idea here is that grandiose, ambitious projects really drive major advancements. But then you have Jane Jacobs, a critical urbanist, arguing that such plans lead to drab standardization and stifle local creativity. Where do you stand on this?
It's a hard one to pick sides on, Jack. Burnham's grand vision did bring us some impressive infrastructure, no doubt. Think of the massive projects like the Interstate Highway System or the New York City Subway. These are keystone elements that changed how people lived and worked. But Jane Jacobs wasn't just talking nonsense either. Her critique, that top-down plans can lead to homogeneous, lifeless cityscapes, has been proven in places that lost their character to standardized, uninspired planning.
Absolutely. And look at her opposition to federal grants. She wasn't just being contrary for the sake of it. She saw that large federal grants made municipalities dependent on a particular way of doing things. What she was suggesting, giving more power to local governments to decide, seemed to make sense to an extent, but opened the door for local corruption.
Right, you give local governments the money, and there's a risk of venality. You get city councils with sticky fingers, and before you know it, funds get siphoned off into pet projects that don't actually benefit the public. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yep, and then there's this whole issue with social justice. There are some things that need a broader, more unified approach. Local governments tend to reflect the biases of their populations. For example, minority rights sometimes need the protection of federal law against local prejudices.
Exactly. States' rights, historically, have often been a smokescreen for maintaining discriminatory practices. It's like having a referee for the bigger game. Without the federal government stepping in, we might still be struggling to make progress on these fronts.
Right. The Civil Rights Act, for instance, wouldn't have happened if we left everything to the states. And as mentioned, Nicholas Lemon from Promised Land pointed out that addressing issues like poverty and ghettos necessitates large-scale planning and intervention. It's like trying to fix a flood with a bucket when what you really need is a dam.
And boy, is it going to cost a lot like a dam. Look at healthcare infrastructure, public schooling, or even internet access in low-income areas. Those require enormous investment and centralized planning.
Speaking of large-scale investments in innovation, how about some of the shifts we've seen lately? You mentioned earlier about self-hosting platforms like Jellyfin. This kind of decentralization empowers individuals but still connects to that broader infrastructure discussion, yeah?
Absolutely. It's like a microcosm of the same debate. Self-hosting gives you control and autonomy, like local governance in a way, but it thrives on the backbone of a significant, well-planned internet infrastructure laid down over decades.
I love that analogy. It's personal responsibility and freedom meeting the needs of good foundational planning. To bring it full circle, our digital economy is built on big plans, giant data centers, expansive fiber networks. Without those, you can forget about your Jellyfin or anything else.
Speaking of big plans, have you been following the developments with Stargate and SoftBank? These massive investments are shaping not just one city, but entire industries. It's like watching an urban development on a global scale.
Yeah, and SoftBank throwing billions into projects shows that sometimes big risks are needed for big rewards. Though I have to say, I'm curious about the legal implications coming out from the Department of Justice's suit against Google. They're essentially accusing it of monopoly practices in the digital ad market.
It's a behemoth trying to play referee in the tech world now. The scale of these lawsuits is immense, but they're crucial. Much like managing any large infrastructure or urban plan, you need checks and balances at every level, especially with something as influential as digital advertising.
No little plans indeed. Whether we're talking urban planning or digital futures, it seems like the small scale and the grandiose have their place. The trick is figuring out where each approach best fits in the greater scheme of things.
And keeping a keen eye to reevaluate and adapt as conditions change. Just like in cities, planning for digital spaces needs foresight and flexibility.
Perfectly put, Core. It's a balancing act and one that needs continual attention. Let's dive deeper into how these shifts impact financial landscapes, especially given the current Silicon Valley dynamics. Well, that wraps up another jam-packed episode of AI Unchained. We covered quite a bit, from the latest breakthroughs in AI technology to the ongoing business maneuvers in Silicon Valley, and of course, those ever-entertaining political developments.
Absolutely, Jack. We kicked things off with that intriguing AI advancement in natural language processing. It's mind-blowing how quickly the tech is evolving and becoming a fundamental part of our daily lives.
Right, and then we dove into the business side of things, discussing the recent mergers and acquisitions. Those moves are definitely going to reshape the industry landscape. Who would have thought that one day we'd be looking at such massive conglomerates dominating the tech space?
And let's not forget the political banter. It's always a good time analyzing how government policies could change the trajectory of tech innovation. Plus, Jack, your impression of the latest political figure had me in stitches. Not sure if it was accurate, but it was definitely entertaining.
Chuckles. Gotta keep it light, Core. But seriously, these discussions are crucial. The interplay between politics and technology can't be ignored, especially when we're looking at regulatory impacts and global competition.
Couldn't agree more. And thanks to our fantastic audience for tuning in and keeping the conversation going. Your feedback and engagement keep us on our toes and help shape the future episodes of AI Unchained.
That's right. So thank you all for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights along the way.
And don't forget to hit that subscribe button, share this podcast with your friends, and maybe even leave us a review if you're feeling generous. We love hearing what you think.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
See you next time, folks.